జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్రశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశ్రీ ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిరియా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శైల ప్రభుపాలకి అనందమూడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధారి శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావనధామకి మాయపూరిధామకి మధురపురిధామకి జగన్నాథపురిధామకి ద్వారకావరిధామకి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమాముష్పదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ బోధిని శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంగ స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విషయ శశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశారిణే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధినాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసందామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తుతి వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే తులారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పరిజాతాయ తోత్రవే త్రైకవాణయ జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దోగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థోవల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజలాగాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వథామావికర్ణఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తకకేశవ పారాశర్యోజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కరం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనశల్పధైర్యహరః ప్రవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్ వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితతర్గదేన మనసా వశంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో సమ్ సో కాల్డ్ పండితాస్ ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ they declare themselves to be scholarly and they are saying that this soul is a very abstract thing. It's not easily able to relate with the soul. It's very difficult, they are saying. And that is why kejittu panditam manya nirakaratva ఆత్మవస్తు నా ఉభయది బుద్ధి అద దుస్సాధ్య సమ్యక్ జ్ఞాననిష్ట ఇది ఆహు. బికాస్ సోల్ హ్యాస్ నో ఫార్మ్, ఇట్ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ అ ఫార్మ్, దేర్ ఫార్ ఇట్ ఈస్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు గ్రాస్ప్ దాట్ విత్ ద బుద్ధి, డిఫికల్ట్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద సోల్ విత్ ద బుద్ధి బికాస్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ నో ఫార్మ్. దేర్ ఫార్ దే ఆర్ సేయింగ్ దాట్
fully established in the jnanam, knowledge of the soul, is difficult. This is their, is impossible, they are saying like that. Yeah. So in answer to that, Acharya Swami says, that is true, satyam evam, it is a fact. But it is for those people, guru sampradaya rahidanam, ashuddha vedantanam, atyanta bahirvishaya asakta buddhinam, samyak pramaneshu, agrada shramanam, tad vivaridanam tu, laugika grahya grahaka, dvaita vastuni, asat buddhi, nidaram, dusambhadya, atma chaitanya vidrekena, vastu andarasya anubalabdhe. His point is that Guru Sampradaya Rahidanam, when they have not come in the proper way to realize the soul, they will have a problem. If you have not been groomed or trained in the proper way, which is Guru Sampradaya Rahidanam, they are not come in the Guru Sampradaya properly, and even though they may have a first-class guru, spiritual master, who is well-established in the Shruti, Brahmanishta, Shrotrayam Brahmanishtam, and because they have not come in a good sampradayam system, proper parampara system, they are not able to hear the Vedanta Shravanam properly. Vedantam is not, Shravanam is not proper. And Atyanta Bahirvishaya Asata Buddhinam. This is another problem. Because their mind is so absorbed in the world outside, Atyanta Bahirvishaya Asata Buddhi. That means attached to the things outside in the world. If your mind is absorbed in the world, it is difficult to be absorbed in the self. It's not possible. That's what he's saying here. That due to that, he's saying, asatudinam, samyak pramaneshu, that means their buddhi and mind, intelligence and mind, is not under control. And laugi grahya grahaga, tad vivaridanam tu laugika grahya grahaka dvaita vastu nir asad buddhi. Main problem is the mind goes into the world too much. If the mind is absorbed in the world, and then to get absorbed in spiritual life is difficult, it's not possible. Then if the mind is busy with millions of things outside in the world, and then you want to be spiritual, that doesn't work. Because the mind has got this problem. If a person who has no interest outside, that's what he is saying in the next thing, that only if you become introvert, inward looking, it is possible to realize this knowledge. Only if you become inward looking, otherwise not possible. And that's what he's saying. Yatha cha etat evam na anyatha idi avochama uktam cha bhagavata yasyam jagriti bhudani sa nisha pashyato mane. In other words, it is not a difficult thing, but One thing we should understand, that life is in two different levels. The life in this world is in two different levels, right? In order to say that, he is saying this, that yanisha sarva bhudanam, life is in two different levels. The man in avidya, he acts in one level, and the man in knowledge, he acts in different level. They are in two different worlds altogether. You can't keep one leg in one world and another leg in another world. The knowledge won't work. This is an important point. Yanisha sarva bhudanam yasya jagrati samyami. Yasya jagrati bhudani sanisha pashyato muni. That verse he is quoting here from that, right? So the important thing is, he says that Yasyam Jagrati Bhunani Sanisham Pashito Muni, that otherwise Veda Buddhi will come. Tasmat, the problem is mind outside in the world, if it has gone too far. The difficulty is, Tasmat, Bahyagara Veda Buddhi Nivrtihi Eva Atma Swarupam Alambani Karanam Nahi Atma Nama Kasajil Kadajil Aprasiddha Praptohe Ubadeyova. Then Atma Swarupam wants to get my realization of the self back, right? And sannyasa means that his mind doesn't go into the world outside anymore. That is sannyasam, right? Bahya vishayam, external things, the mind does not go there. And what happens once the mind go? That is separate, this is separate, I am separate. And me, you, in this way vaharam begins. This is the nature of the world that creates for everybody. Once you become active in the world will create these thoughts in us, me, you, mine, yours. And this way vyavaharam will begin. So the problem that comes from that, to put an end to that, that is sannyasam, yadi dharmam. Yadi dharmam means sannyasam, is to come bring an end to this, that me and you, and mine and yours, all these Veda Buddhi has to leave us from inside. That is the impact of the world on us. So, nahi alma na kasyajit kadajit aprasiddha prapto he ubadeyova. Alma is not a thing. That you have to get it from anywhere. It's already there, right? And because it's already there, aprasiddehi tasmin atmani swarthaha sarva pravartayaha prasarjeran naja dehadya ajeda anarthatvam chedanarthatvam shakyam kalpayidam naja sukhartham sukham dukhartham va dukham Alma Vagatyava Sanatatva Cha Sarva Vyavaharasya. He's saying, if Alma, if you haven't got it till now, if it has to come from outside, you won't be sitting here, he said. Because it is, the fact that you are sitting here itself is a proof that Alma is already there. If Alma wasn't there, you won't be able to sit here. Similarly, you won't be able to eat food, you won't be able to sleep, you won't be able to do any vyavaharam. All these are the proof that Atma is already there inside us, right? And therefore we all have this experience that I am, I am, I am, that awareness inside, is because Atma is already present inside us, right? But but we don't know what that Atma is. That is the problem. Problem is not that Atma is not present inside. Atma is present inside, that's why we are doing everything. We are able to walk, move, do things and listen, hear. Everything is because of the presence of Atma. So to think that Atma is sitting somewhere else and I am separately from that, that itself is avidya inside us. Atma is already there and therefore we are here because Atma is there. The only thing is we are not aware where he is and what, how to connect with him. That awareness is lost in us. The bottom has gone from that, right? So, but unfortunately we are also thinking that we are this body. So one thing, we are not conscious of the presence of Atma inside. And the second thing is we are identifying with the body, right? So that's what he is saying, that tasmat yathaso dehasya paricchedaya na pramana andaravesha tada abhi atmanah andaragamatvat tadavagarim pradimna pramana andaravesha ఇది ఆత్మజ్ఞాన నిష్ట వివేకినం సుప్రసిద్ధం ఇది సిద్ధం. ఈ సెయింగ్ హియర్ టు నో దట్ యు హ్యావ్ అ బాడీ, యూ డోంట్ రిక్వైర్ అ ప్రూఫ్, ఇజ్న్ట్ ఇట్, వి నో వి హ్యావ్ గాట్ అ బాడీ, రైట్, యూ డోంట్ రిక్వైర్ అ ప్రూఫ్ ఫర్ దాట్, ప్రమాణం ఈస్ నాట్ రిక్వైర్డ్. సిమిలర్లీ టు నో ద ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్ ఇన్ సైడ్ యూ డోంట్ రిక్వైర్ అ ప్రమాణం. జస్ట్ లైక్ బాడీ యూ డోంట్ రిక్వైర్ అ ప్రమాణం. ప్రమాణం మీన్స్ యూ డోంట్ నీడ్ ఎనీ డాక్యుమెంటేషన్ or proof to so that I got a body. I know that I got a body, right? Because I'm identifying with very comfortably. And therefore I know that the body exists. In the same way, soul also exists, and I don't require any documentation for that. Any proof of any documentation or to prove that I soul exists in me, right? So those who have that intelligence, it is easier for them to know the presence of the soul. So, and because these people who say like this, the soul is abstract. Yesham abhi nirakaram jnanam apratyaksham tesham abhi jnanavasha eva jnaya avagari idi jnanam atyantam prasiddham sukhadivad eva idi apyubagandavyam. The people don't have the knowledge, the right knowledge, and knowledge in the right way. Knowledge also has a way of working. The knowledge in a person works in a particular way, right? Just like if you want to know the presence of any object in this world, it is through knowledge that you get to know that, is it not? That the senses goes, makes contact, buddhi gets involved and gets that object inside us. It brings the object inside us. So that time then you can understand that there is something in us that is registering the object which is outside us but experienced inside us, isn't it? That is knowledge. See, this vastu is outside me, but its presence is experienced inside me, in the subtle body. I am experiencing that. And that power is called knowledge. The knowledge means that power that makes me experience this object which is outside, but inside me. I am experiencing that. Everything in this world. But because we don't think in that level, we think in a gross level. So we are not aware of all these things, right? So he's saying here that in the same way, Atma also, when you get to know Atma with the proper knowledge, you will know his existence inside. He's already there. Like you see this body, for example, I am seeing with my eyes. And I experience it inside, that the body exists. Even though I am not the body, still the presence of the body is experienced inside. I don't need a proof for that. Without any proof, I know the existence of the body. Similarly, the world outside. When I senses make contacts with it, and the buddhi goes that, and then brings back the whole object inside, and I experience it inside, in the subtle body. Experience it in the subtle body. In the same way, Acharya Swami is saying there, Atma is also like that. Provided you have to have that type of knowledge required to know the presence of the soul. And that knowledge doesn't come easily. The process by which to know the experience of the soul inside. So like yesterday we said that so many complicated things we are able to think about it and get absorbed, like the moon yatra and Mars yatra and all the Big Bang theory and things like that. But such a simple thing inside called Atma, we don't have the tools to know that. And that process is, what he is saying here, is difficult, right? So, so his point is that it is available easily, but he is saying here, Atha അത്യന്ത പ്രസിദ്ധം ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞാത അഭി അത ഏവ പ്രസിദ്ധമിതി തസ്മാത് ജ്ഞാനേ യത്നോ ന കർത്തവ്യ കിം തു അനാത്മബുദ്ധി നിവൃത്തോ ഏവ തസ്മാത് ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠ സുസമ്പാദ്യം. His point is that you don't have to work very hard physically or anything to get the knowledge of the soul, right? Because it's already there and his presence is there in the body, its presence is, he's shining inside, right? And because this awareness inside us is the proof of the presence of Atma inside. That bodham, aham, aham, I am existing. That awareness that is present in every one of us is the proof that he is there, right? But what is required then is, there is so many analpa vishayam, which is nothing to do with the Atma. You have to become free from that. You are in the grip of that. Anatma vishayam. Anatma vishayam basically means the world outside, the body. When you are in the grip of these two things, the world outside and the body, then it is not possible. Because they are all analpa vishayam. They are not atma vishayam. Anatma vishayam, right? All you have to do is to come out of that. So, therefore, jnananishtha, knowledge, established in the knowledge means, it can be achieved very easily, and that is what he mentioned. So, sa iyam jnanasya paranishtam uchyate, how that is possible? How that is possible? That is in the next verses. 4 or 5 verses is all about that. How to get that knowledge back of knowing the soul. How to get that back, right? Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. That is the 51st verse. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. Dhrithi atmanam niyamyacha. Shabdadin vishayam tyatva. Ragadvesho vyadasyucha. First of all, buddhi should be shuddha. Pure buddhi. Right? And next few verses, 51, 52, 53, 54, all those verses is meant for meditation. Meditation means that analyzing it inside, well, one should think through these verses and realize the importance of these verses. Because these verses are for helping us to understand the presence of the soul. Therefore, in the Jnana Sadhana, it is Mananam Nididhyasana. It is for that purpose these verses are here. Yeah? So it's saying here that in order to get this knowledge back, how to become aware of the soul inside, right? What our buddhi is like this, whatever we may hear many, many times, right? The nature of the buddhi is that the way it is used to before, the way the buddhi is used to, buddhi gets affected by that, by the way it is used to thinking before, right? So, there is a channel in us through which the chittavrittis keep coming, thought waves comes to us. And that will influence the buddhi, our buddhi. We won't be able to think in a different way. Buddhi has got this problem. Our buddhi got used to thinking in a particular way. And any other way it cannot think. It is just the nature of the... Even though we may think that I am thinking differently, no, because the way the buddhi has been trained to think due to the influence of the modes of nature, and it is impossible to change the way of thinking from one way to another way. From one way of thinking to another way of thinking, it's very difficult to change that, right? Just like the farmer, when he is cultivating the field, the water is coming, right? And if he has to if he has to divert the water in another direction, he will dig another way and make the water to flow in another direction. He does that very easily. He's not with his tools, implements. He will change the, he'll make plow the land in such a way that the water gets turned in another direction. Right? Similarly, it is not possible to do with the buddhi. It is a difficulty with the buddhi. Buddhi is like that, right? So, mind has become so mundane, intelligence has become very, buddhi has become very mundane. Our nature is very mundane nature in us, right? And the chittavrittis, thought waves that comes into our buddhi is related with the world outside and direct that from that mundane way of thinking to a spiritual way of thinking. And that is very difficult, but it has to be done. From this spiritual way of, material way of dealing with the world contaminates us to such an extent that the mind and intelligence is so impure that you will bring that habit into spiritual life as well. And therefore, to direct the mind and intelligence in the spiritual channel becomes more difficult. It's a big problem. And this is why any amount of time hearing, it's not working. The same thing is repeated again, again, again and again, but it's not having any impact on us. Why is that? The thought waves or chittavritti of this mundane world, what we have become a part of, has become so strong inside that to divert the mind and intelligence from that into a spiritual path is very difficult. It's very difficult, right? So, for that what is required, that is what Krishna is talking about in the next few verses, right? So, he said here, buddhya vishuddha, that is what he's talking about in the first line itself. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhriti altmanam niyamyacha shabdhadin vishayam tektva raga dvesho vidasyucha. There is a lot of purification necessary inside first, within us. Outside we may be pure, but inside is very dirty. That's the first point, right? So he says here that how to make the buddhi and mind free from these impurities of the mundane world, right? So that's what I say. Buddhya adhyavasaya almigaya vishuddhaya maya rahitaya yuktaha sambannaha dhritya dhairyena almanam karyakarana sanghatam niyamyacha niyamanam kritva vashikritva shabdadin shabda adihi yashante shabdadeha tan vishayan tektvaha samarthyad shairastiti matran kevalan muktva tada adhiyan sukhartan tektva ityartaha shairastityartatvena prapteshuja ragadvesho vedasuja parityajya tadaha. Buddhi has to be purified first from this effect of the mundane world, right? And that duplicity of the buddhi and the crookedness of the buddhi and then all the faults in the buddhi, this all has to be cleared up first, right? And mind, if it happens, the mind will be peaceful. The mind will be peaceful if it happens. That is the proof of that. If buddhi is cleared up with all its dirty influences from the world, if buddhi is cleared up, then the mind will be peaceful. Right? This upasana, whatever we are doing, japam, dhyanam, and deity worship. All this is, it's for this purpose only, to purify inside from this mundane world, to withdraw ourselves from the mundane world and to separate ourselves from this world outside. Otherwise, someone who is doing all the time vyavaharam, he won't understand anything. First of all, he won't even have a taste for it. If you're always doing vyavaharam, you won't even get a taste for it. Right? Spiritual life is like that. Because it's a different world altogether. And that's what that verse was saying about. They are on two different worlds. This happens. Spiritual life happens in one world. Material life happens in another world. You can't put one feet in one and one in the other. It will not. It will be always be a conflict all the time. So the knowledge of the soul to happen, first thing is this buddhi and mind, which has been absorbed in that mundane world, has to become free from that. And that freeing process is what he is talking about here. How to free the mind and the intelligence from that world of body and the world outside. Right? And all these different upasanas, what people do, japam, dhyanam, puja, all these things. Similarly, the Bhagavadam kathas in the Bhagavadam, or Ramayanam for that matter, right? And similarly, you go to the temple, you see the deities there, come home and think about the form of the deity you have seen at the temple. That's a dhyanam, meditation, right? Similarly, when you are sitting in satsangam, these thoughts somewhat comes inside, related to spiritual knowledge. At least you are sitting somewhere quietly and mind is a little bit absorbed in that. If you are not here, what will you do? Busy with the world outside. You will be doing so many other things and that will keep you going for the whole life. That's how life is, isn't it? So these two different worlds, how to separate them out first, come out of that, right? So this is the reason that the rishis know this problem. It's a big problem to come out of this, withdraw the mind and the intelligence from that and to get established in the spiritual consciousness, right? And that is what is called bhavamandalam. Bhavamandalam means instead of these thought waves keep on coming from the world and flowing through the mind continuously, to pull the mind out of that, from that flow of thoughts of the world, and to put the whole mind and inside, subtle body, in another world, to put established in another world. For that, what they have done is, right, Krishna calls it as bhava samshuddhi. Bhavam has to become pure. If the bhavam is mundane, then this knowledge won't be will not get in. But you have to create a favorable situation inside for that. That's called bhavamandalam. And the rishis created puranams and all other things in order to create this bhavamandalam inside us. That was the purpose of all the puranams. Puranam does that, and Mahabharatam and Ramayanam, all of them does this. This is why completely getting absorbed in Ramayanam, Mahabharatam all the time creates this world necessary for this bhavamandalam inside us. That is the purpose behind that. Yeah. So, and the bhavamandalam, when it becomes pure, it's called bhava samshuddhi. Krishna calls that in the Bhagavad Gita, bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi means that purified inside, purified state of inside, right? So you can see the problem that we are in a world now completely polluted that bhavamandalam with this mobile phone, computer, all these things, right? It's just the way it is now. All these things are completely polluted inside, right? And when they do that, everything what you are reading from the books and hearing from Shastram, totally opposite thing they do, computers and the mobile phones and all other things, cinemas, televisions, media, everything. It's all a part of that, right? Yeah. So it becomes very difficult when it gets more and more complicated. When you complicate it with all these new things. When these things didn't exist, it was much easier to... That is why in previous times, when they didn't exist, when these things didn't exist, it was easier to do this. Now it's becoming more and more complex. So, at least we have to learn how to use these things, computer or mobile phone, things like that, right? We shouldn't destroy ourselves with these things. Because they are there, we shouldn't destroy ourselves with that, right? In other words, we should not pollute our buddhi and the mind with them. And somehow, through some process, we need to get them purified, mind and intelligence, right? Mind and intelligence. And this problem is known to them, to the rishis. So they have mentioned that also in, for example, in the Shivananda Lahari, there is a verse talking about that. It doesn't say mobile phone, but it says the problem, he's saying. Buddhi sthira bhavidam. Ishvara Pada Padmam Satta Vathur Virahinisva Sada Smaranti Sad Bhavana Smarana Darshana Kirtanadi Samohi Deva Shiva Mantra Jabena Vinde. Just like a young wife is separated from her husband, is always thinking about him and looking forward to getting attached to him. In the same way, Ajahn Swami says here that constant remembrance of Krishna has to happen inside, or Shiva, whatever form it is. And he says, Sadbhavana, Smarana, Darshana, Kirtanadi. Same process as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all of these things. Right? You have to, with them, you have to wash your buddhi and the mind, just like you wash the clothes with water, soap. Soap and the water, how you wash your clothes off, all the dirty things on the clothes. In the same way, through bhavana, sadbhavana, smaranam, darshanam, kirtanam, all these things for that purpose. To get mind and intelligence absorbed related to Krishna, some form, in another way, some way or the other. Different ways are there, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, in that way. So that is how you purify the buddhi. That's how you purify the buddhi, right? And when the buddhi is purified, then Vedanta Shravanam, and buddhi has become steady, and what you are trying to do is trying to maintain buddhi in that Brahmi sthiti. You remember Brahmi sthiti in the second chapter, what Krishna has spoken about? How to keep the buddhi and the mind in that Brahmi sthiti. Yasham Brahmi sthiti partha. Nainam prapi mukhyadi. Tityada andagalevi. Brahma nirvana marchadi. So that Brahmi sthiti, what Krishna is talking about is this. It has to stay in that Brahmi sthiti. Otherwise it won't. Whole life if you do these two things together, the Oharam as well as spiritual life together, you will find at the end no result. You will say, I am a senior devotee. 50 years I have been practicing spiritual life. You may think like that, but it means nothing. Because of this, Vyavaharam is like that, the nature. Because the purification has not happened. Constantly, mundane thoughts, Vyavaharam is invading the mind and the buddhi, and therefore it is not free to become absorbed in spiritual life. It's not free. That's the problem, right? So that is what he is saying here. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. First let buddhi get purified. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. Dhriti atmanam niyamyacha. Yeah. So buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. First of all, purifying this buddhi, right? And what they call it as samahitam. Samahitam means that suitable for the purpose for which it is ready for that. Yuktam. You remember Krishna says this. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta chastasya karmasu, yukta satnava bhavadasya, yogo bhavadi dukkaha. In earlier chapter, he says one has to learn this, how to make the buddhi suitable for spiritual life. Suitable for spiritual life, right? And yukta means that he is saying dhriti yukto, buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. How do that yukto come? Dhriti alpanam niyamya cha. Through his own willpower, he has to use for this purpose. One's own willpower, right? And we have a problem with the five senses, is it not? Shabda sparsha rupam rasam gandham. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form, right? And through that what happens? We listen to music, we listen to watch the dancing, and all these things generally distract us. If it is not related to Krishna, it will distract us, everything, right? And in order to bring all that favorably, therefore all the temple arts is all meant for this, to create this feeling in the world inside us for self-realization, for that Brahmistiri, to create the Brahmistiri. That's the purpose of all the kirtanam and temple, different types of temple arts. Everything has been created only for this purpose, not for enjoying the, like in the like you can see there are so many drama groups who perform dramas related to material life, isn't it? Family life and family quarrels and love between boy and girl, things like that, projecting all that. They are not the one. All related to Shastram, all related to Purans. In that way, a world is created inside all of us, right? So, instead of getting distracted, for example, television serials in the television. So many serials in the television. Cinemas. All centered around mundane life. That will create a bhava-mandalam of that world. If we get absorbed in that world, it will create a bhava-mandalam of that world inside us. That's why you will observe people who have been seeing these serials in the television series, different serials in the television series. Some people watch that, they can't miss that. They are so, if they make arrangements such a way, as soon as they get back from work, they will watch it. In such a way they set it up, their recording system, whatever it is, right? So when you do like that, what happens is, inside you can imagine what his bhava-mandalam will be. That serial is his bhava-mandalam. The serial he is watching is his bhava-mandalam. In the same thing with the television programs, whatever it is, politics or other things in the world, it all becomes his bhava-mandalam. So if the bhava-mandalam is impure, then there is no question of any, that's what Krishna is talking about. That buddhi is gone. That buddhi requires treatment. Without that it won't happen, right? So, so to become, every time when you use it like that, similarly all the reels in the mobile and all other things, that becomes your bhava-mandalam, right? And it is a negativity. What you are saying is negative for spiritual life, right? And some people will say, I need the mobile because I got my Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam in that. So I cannot live without that. They will say like that. This is a weaker argument. We'll say why it is so. Yeah. And they're saying that we are very old now. We cannot go for Salsangam. Because rather it is much easier. That's the excuse many people give. We cannot go for Salsangam because it is there on the web and it is on the mobile I have got. I can lie down in the bed and listen to the lecture. That is not Salsangam and that won't create the Bhava Mandala. This is the problem. It won't create the Bhava Mandala, right? So this has now become worldwide a problem. It's grown over last few years, particularly ever since this mobile was invented, internet was invented, this problem has grown very big now. So it is the negative side of mobile. It is the negative side of mobile phones, right? Now, some people will say that, look, I cannot go to Tirupati to see the darshanam of the deity, right? Whereas Tirupati channel is there, you leave it on your television, lie in your bed, and everything that is going on in the temple, you can lie down in your bed covered with a quilt and watch the Tirupati channel. What's going on there, right? The deity you can see every morning, Abhishek you can observe, see that in the morning, right? And the different offerings that is made. So all these things will happen like that, right? So when we say this, everybody feels so happy because you see how modern technology has helped us in becoming spiritual. That's how they misinterpret the whole thing, right? That is not what Krishna is talking about here, right? So people think that when you say this, oh look how everything is helping us, how I am using everything in Krishna's service, mobile phone, computer, everything in Krishna's service. But take it for this principle that anything that you depend on in this world, any instrument or any tools outside you will not help as much as what you do inside on your own. Even a little sadhana, what you do inside, with your inside absorbed in that, is far, far more powerful than what you are using a tool outside and taking the help from that. This principle you shouldn't forget, right? Not to be dependent on anything is the ideal situation. Yeah? Only then inside will grow. If you want the inside to grow, you should not be dependent on anything outside. This principle you should never forget. Yeah? As long as you are dependent on outside, the growth inside will be very little. If you take help from mobile phone, televisions, or anything else, more powerful than that is if you are able to sit quietly somewhere and get absorbed in what you have heard from the Shastram, or what you have read from the books, and if you are able to absorb yourself. That is how inside will grow. But if you think that these tools are helping me, they may be helping you temporarily for that moment. Inside it won't grow. It won't have much effect inside. Any help you take from outside, so externally, if you can't leave the mobile or the computer, how are you going to leave this body? The idea behind all this is to become free from the body, isn't it? So if I have to live in this world with the help of external things, so much, external things, then how on earth am I going to leave this body if I can't even leave the mobile phone? If my attachment to the body will be so strong that I will find it very difficult. I will find, what will happen is at the end, you will notice that you haven't moved 1 inch from where you started the journey, spiritual journey, where you started. Yeah, it's so important. That's why this verse, what Krishna is talking about, buddhya vishuddhaya yukto, Krishna puts it in two letters, yukto. That's enough for Krishna to say that. But that yuktam involves so much effort from our side, not to pollute ourselves with this misunderstanding that things outside will help me, websites, CDs, or serials, or the mobile phones and things like that. With their help, I will make spiritual advancement. If I think like that, that's a misunderstanding. It's not the right understanding. You can hear it, you may have some thoughts about it, but it will go. It won't work inside. Then inside it should start working. Only then it will be effective. That's the point he is making here. Buddhya vishuddhaya yuktya, yuktaha. Then with the willpower, you require willpower for this, to control the mind and the senses, not to get affected by these things outside, right? And it is not only, okay, mobile phone and these are shabdam. Similarly, other things also, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, everything. Like the temple deities, you go there and see the deities and then you've forgotten that. It hasn't created enough impact inside that it is flowing through the mind all the time. That requires inside changes, adjustment inside, right? So when senses are controlled, that means that distraction from outside world is stopped once the senses are controlled. The distraction from the outside world is stopped, right? And it is for this purpose. You see, you know that the rishis, they went to the forest, didn't they? They went to the forest. Why did they go to the forest? Because in solitude, you can develop that bhavam inside, in solitude, right? So that they don't get distracted from the world outside. And in order to do that, you have to be in a solitude. It helps to be in a solitude, right? For example, when you are sitting for meditation, people come, and they become a distraction for you. If people come and start talking to you, it becomes a distraction, is it not? So, in such places, you shouldn't go for dhyanam. Meditation is not what we mean, what you see in the hall when they bring the yoga mat and sit in meditation. That is not meditation. Actual meditation is a continuous flow inside us of this Brahmisthiti, state of Brahmisthiti inside us all the time. How to create that? That's the goal. Not that you go for a particular hour or two on a particular day with the yoga mat, sit there and meditate for a couple of hours and go away after that and become totally absorbed in the mundane world. That is not, that meditation won't help. What Krishna is talking about is a state inside us. There is a continuous flow of these thoughts related to what Krishna has spoken, to how to build that up inside. And that requires a lot of sacrifice from our side. So therefore, you can see how far we have fallen away from Krishna's words, right? With all this, we should know that at least while going to the temple, you don't take the mobile phone with you. But what happens now? They think mobile phone is necessary for darshan of the deity. And with them, as soon as they walk in, they start taking photos with the mobile phone. Just to show what their bhavamandalam is. This is what it means. Then their bhavamandalam, without mobile phone, they can't have a bhavamandalam. It has come to that. So dependent on the mobile phone that they have lost their capacity to absorb themselves in something without the help of mobile phone. They have become like that. And it is very sad that when they come to the temple also, they bring that with them, right? And and then the mobile calls come. When they are standing in front of the deity and taking the calls. Now what Bhava Mandalam is that? You tell me. If this is the state of affairs. And then they are texting them. And standing in front of the deity and texting them. It's not easy that we have to know. You become more dependent on the world outside. Your Bhava Mandalam is gone. And we got addicted to it and become more and more contaminated with that outside world in the form of all these tools, then it is making us very weak that you are not able to be on your own and able to develop this Bhava Mandalam inside us, what Krishna is asking us to do. Yeah. So, you have to remember, without all these things, how many thousands of years people lived in this world? Without mobile phone and computer and internet and WhatsApp and YouTube and all that, right? So, the people lived in this world without all this, did they not? All these years. This is all in the last 40, 50 years this has happened, right? In the olden days, when they leave home, right? They'll say, when I get to the destination, I'll send you a letter. I'll send a letter back. That is when the postal system started, right? Before that, what happened? They will say, we will see you when I come back. And that's how we left. So many older people, they left home, went to Kashi or Vrindavanam or wherever it is. And when they leave, they'll tell them that we will see if I get back, we will see you then. Perhaps it may take few years to go. They were walking to Kashi. From all the way from south to Kashi, a long distance. They had to walk. And they will say that when we come back, we will see you. There was no other way of communicating. Right? So, children today, they won't know all these things. They won't know all that. Right? In our time, when we were children, then letter was there. Post system was already there. So, but if you go from Kerala to Delhi, by the time a letter was, when you send a letter and get a reply back, it is at least 2 weeks. It used to take 2 weeks. 1 week for the letter from Delhi to Kerala, and by the time they reply, they will reply straight away, and it will take another week to get to Delhi. And today, look at what's happening now. Yeah. So, and sometimes those days, we will get angry with the postman. He thinks you must have lost the letter because it took such a long time. Right? What can he do, poor fellow? He brings the letter what he has got. Isn't it? So to become free, that is what Krishna's point is, that Shabdhadin Vishayam Tetva Ragadesho Vyadasyucha, he is saying, right? Sharirastadi Matran Kevalan Muktua Tata adhigan sukhartan tektva ityartaha shayya stityartvena praptya shucha ragadesho vedyasya paritejya. Krishna's point is that shabdadi vishayam, ragadvesham, leaves all, shabdadi vishayam tektva. That means shabdasparsha rubarasa gandham, through which the senses are interacting with the world, that should be given up. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. How the senses are interacting with the world, because they are pulling the senses into the world. They should be under control. Then what else he is saying? Ragadvesham shouldn't be there. And both these things, he is saying here, both these things makes the ragadvesham vedasicham. Both these things creates the vikshipta manasaha. Manas, mind vikshiptam. Mind gets distracted. Distractions comes from that. That is what he is saying here. That buddhya. It's a fantastic the bhashya. Adhyavasaya alpigaya. Even if you don't understand, just hear this. It does help. Because the sound itself is so purifying. അധ്യവസായാത്മികായ വിശുദ്ധയ മായാരഹിതായ യുക്ത സമ്പന്ന ധൃത്യ ധൈര്യേണ ആത്മാനം കാര്യകാരണ സംഘാതം നിയമ്യ ച നിയമനം കൃത്വ വശീകൃത്യ ശബ്ദാദീൻ ശബ്ദ ആദി യേഷാം തേ ശബ്ദാദയ താൻ വിഷയാൻ വിഷയാൻ തെക്വ സാമർത്യ ശരീരസ്ഥിതി മാത്രാൻ കേവലാൻ തെക്വ കേവലാൻ മുക്ത തഥ അധികാൻ സുഖാർത്ഥാൻ തെക്വ ഇത്യർത്ഥ ശരീരസ്ഥിത്യർത്ഥത്വേന പ്രാപ്തേഷു ച രാഗദ്വേഷോ വിദ്യസ്യ പരിത്യജ്യ തഥ. സോ ദ പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് രാഗദ്വേഷം ഈസ് അവൈലബിൾ പ്ലെന്റി ഇൻ ദ വേൾഡ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ഈസ് നോട്ട്. And once it has gone inside, this Ragadvesham, then when you are trying to build this Bhava Mandalam inside, this Ragadvesham will come inside. If there is Ragadvesham inside, it is available plenty in the world. So if this Ragadvesham has come inside, then it will affect your Bhava Mandalam inside. Right? It will disturb. So Krishna is saying that should be given up. Right? And at the same time, he says, what is required for maintaining a healthy body, that you should not give up. The body should be in a healthy state, right? Because if you give up all that is required for the bodily maintenance, then your spiritual life will be very troublesome, will be very difficult, right? So, what is required for the body, it should be managed in such a way without creating ragadvesham inside. That's an art itself, right? So these are things what is recorded in the books by great personalities, how to do these things, right? And famous people who are spiritually very elevated people, they have done this. And they know how Ragadvesham comes in their spiritual world, into their spiritual world, right? So, like for example, Sadashiva Brahmendra, he was a great soul, wasn't it? Right? So he will go that to places on his own sometimes and stay alone so that this Ragadvesham don't get inside too much. Always guarding against Ragadvesham. Right. And he will go and spend time in the good forests, mountains, and places like that. Be aloof from the world to some extent. So the world doesn't get inside too much. Right? So some people, what they do, they look at all these things in their room on the computer screen. On the computer screen, right? So, and they're saying that, look, I don't have to go to Amazon forest or another forest. I can sit at home and watch that on the computer. It won't have the same. It won't be the same, right? Some people, and this facility is not available for everybody. People who are living in the middle of the city in London, or in a big city, it's very difficult to go away from the world outside, because London is all around you. All the cities, life is all around you. So, and Krishna mentions this in another way to Uddhava also. Vanam tu satyo vasam rajasam gramam uchyate. He says, satubram, if you want to grow, you have to live in the forest, he says. Rajasam gramam uchyate. In villages and towns, if you live, the jovanam will build up. So therefore, this facility is not easy for anybody to become aloof from the world and to live in a separate situation like that, right? But some people have got the facility, even they don't do it, right? People who are living in Hrishikesh, they won't bathe in the Ganga. They will bathe in the bathroom. That is the world today. It is like that. People are living in Hrishikesh, they won't go to Ganga River to bathe. They will bathe at home because piped water, bathroom, and they can use all their toiletries the way they want and feel comfortable at home. So you can see how people's nature is, right? Then the rest of the time they will look at the computer. living in Rishikesh, got the opportunity to bathe in Ganga River. They won't bathe in the Ganga. They'll say it's too much to go to walk into the Ganga River to bathe. Laziness. And staying at home and want to bathe So if the facilities are available, one should use it. Facilities are available, one should use it, right? And similarly, places like Govardhanam, and similarly this Giri Pradakshinam in Tirunamalai and all that, people won't do it. They are living there, but they won't do it. So, so great personalities, Acharyas and all, they have shown this in their life, how to become free from the effect of the world inside us. How to become free from the effect of the world, right? So, there is a story in Acharya Swamiji's case when he was walking from to Madhya Pradesh and from there to Kashi and all that. When he saw a huge banyan tree, banyan trees have got big, lot of space at the bottom. And sometimes you will see a big opening hole inside. People go and sit inside that, in the banyan tree, because they are so big, right? So he found one cave like that, inside at the bottom of the banyan tree. He found a cave, well protected from all sides, so he went inside and sat inside that, right? So in this way, yogis have done all these things, those who know the importance of this verse. Shabdadin Mushyanin Yagadesho Vedasucha. When they get affected, they withdraw from the world. So there is a place in America, Thousand Lights. And there Vivekananda went there, when Swamiji went there, and when he told his some followers there to come, and he said he will talk to them about it there, right? And when he sat there, he has even lost his consciousness, and in such a state he stayed there for a long time, right? So after some time the disciples could not wait anymore, or the followers couldn't wait anymore, they all left, leaving him there. Only one person stayed back, and he held an umbrella for him because when it started raining. So for them, even in such a situation, they are so serious about their inside state, that external world, they won't allow that to affect them inside. They were able to break away from the world outside, because world will create problems. So that is what he is saying here. And so, sharirasthiti matran kevalan muktva tataha adhiyan sukhartan tektva ityartaha sharirasthiti artatvena prapteshu cha ragadvesho vedyasu cha paritejya tataha. Then after that, he says in the next verse, what is required? Vivikta sevi leghvashi yadavakaya manasa dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashridaha. In order to do this, he said, that you should live in as much as possible free from the influence of other people. Too many people on top of you is very difficult, right? And if you have got used to it, if you can live alone, best. But if there is others around you, there will always be, if there's two, there will be always conversation will start. Yeah. That's one thing. Then, eating little, not to eat too much, right? And one who controls body, mind, and the words. And gradually dil dhyanam, meditation will build up inside. If you withdraw from the world, if you have sattugunam inside, gradually you will become more absorbed in that. Absorption will come. Apart from that, vairagya. Detachment from the world, at the same time no attraction for other things in life. All these things helps to develop this bhavamandala inside. That's what he's saying here. You see that? So he's saying here, if for food is concerned, for example, food that will digest quickly without a lot of effort, right? And what does not create vikshepam in the mind, certain type of food that creates too much vikshepam inside and gives you enough energy so that the body can function. These things, everyone has to decide for himself. You can't tell this is the diet for everybody. No. We all have our own difficulties, right? Age and your health conditions, things like that. Within that framework, you have to know what is ideal for your spiritual growth. And able to choose the food for that. And not get absorbed take interest in other type of food. What is not favorable, right? So that is first thing. He's saying here, Vivikta Sevi, Aranya Nadi, Pulina Giri Grihadin, Vivikthan Deshan Sevidam, Shilam Asyaha, Idi Vivikta Sevi, Leghvashi, Leghvashana Shilam, Vivikta Seva, Leghvashana Yoho, Nidradi, Dosha Nivarta Gatvena, Chitta Prasada Hedutwal Grihanam. In other words, living in a place where there is not too many people, as much as possible aloof from the world. Simple food, very light food habits, right? And which will not demand a lot of sleep, in other words. You can save that time as well on the sleep, right? And that will give happiness for the mind, he's saying here. Vivikta Sevi Leghvashi Yada Vakaya Manasa Dhyana Yoga Paro Nityam Vairagyam Samubhashrida. So, if you eat light food, you won't sleep too much. If you eat a lot of heavy food, you will sleep, right? You will become dull that way, right? Dullness, right? So, every Mahalmas have developed their own food habits, suitable for themselves. They know that, right? To understand a bit about that, here, the Lalla Sahasranamam, he talks about, there is a chakram called Swadhishthanam, one of the chakras, right? In order to become stable there, Adhyodhanam Saktahradaya Adhyannam Dadhyannam, that the type of food, what will be favorable for elevating the soul from the Muladharam to Sahasraram. It is spoken in the yoga process. What kind of food is beneficial for that, for a yogi, right? So for every individual, there is different types of food that suits his constitution, in other words, right? Which makes him steady, that person steady, right? These days there is this Prakriti Chikilsa, that means naturopathy. People follow that a lot, right? And for in the name of naturopathy, they go and do a lot of things. They say we will sleep in the open, we will breathe fresh air. And sometimes that may not suit some other people. It could create problem for them, right? So one's life, one has to know how to control one's own body and the mind to make it more stable inside. And one has to find out oneself these things, right? And as we know very well, most of us, that if there is always a big feast every day, imagine there's a big feast every day, and you eat all that feast saying that it is prasadam, then what will happen? Then there will be, you won't be able to read or think or absorb in anything. you will be in that prasadam stage all the time. You won't make much progress from there. You see? So, in the beginning, that is how it starts. A lot of people got attracted by prasadam only to spiritual life, isn't it? Prasadam brought them. And that has not left them even now, after 50 years. That prasadam is still keeping them going. When they started with prasadam. And after 50 years, that prasadam is still keeping them going in spiritual life. That means they haven't moved very far in spiritual life. So earlier it is okay to start with. Yeah. Prabhupada also used to say that. He said, give them, eat, he said, just you want. Because nothing else is going in. Because they came from such difficult situations, used to such habits before, it was difficult for them to take this finer knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. As soon as they sit in the Bhagavad Gita class, they'll sleep. Or Bhagavatam class, they sleep. So what do you do? So that means it's very much in that tamogunam stage. So therefore he said, you start with prasadam. But he didn't say that after 50 years also you should love prasadam so much. He didn't say that. It is prasadam, it should be taken, but more important than that is this control of mind and senses. If it is disturbing your mind and disturbing senses and feeling sleepy all the time, then you shouldn't take it. It's not good to that. So this is one problem in bhakti yoga. This difficulty will be there. Jnanis are conscious of all these things, so they do not indulge like this. But like the way the yoga of love indulges. Yoga of love, the problem with the yoga of love is it loves too much everything and then gets indulgence in that. That indulging nature has to go. But at the same time, one has to remain healthy. If one knows that certain things are missing in the body, one has to adjust diet in such a way that you get sufficient to conduct your life in this world. So, that dietary habits which does not become an obstacle in your adhyatmam life, spiritual life, that one has to find out oneself and manage it, right? So, chitta prasadam, in other words, it should be helpful for the for the benefit of chittam. Chitta prasadam, it's called, right? And it should be beneficial for that. And then he said, "Vak yada vakaya manasa." Vaka, kayam, manasam. Disciplining them, all three. Words, mind, and body. Right? Uparadaha and sarvakaranaha. Right? He's saying that yat vakaya manasaha, vak cha kayaha, cha manasam cha edani samyadani yasya, jnana nishtasya, sa. Jnana nishtaiha yadihi yada vakaya manasahasyan evam uparataha sarvakarana san. One who has control on body, mind and the words in this way, he is a yadi. He says he is a yadi, right? And such a person, he has withdrawn from all other activities. Yeah. For example, he has managed to turn the senses away from the world, inward. And Atma Suruva Vijara Kartavyaha. For example, he is in a position to absorb in the soul. In other words, gradually this awareness is building up inside of the soul. Antaryami is inside. That means you have moved away from the world outside to this world inside. And how Antaryami is controlling everything, our senses, subtle body, mind, intelligence, ahankaram, chitam. If you hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita a lot, these thoughts will build up inside naturally. That you will become aware of an inside world. Otherwise it won't happen. When you are constantly dealing with the world outside, you are not conscious of this world inside, right? So what he is saying here is that when you chant the holy name, for example, or different mantras, whatever it may be, right? Some people, they may have taken mantra diksha from different people in different mantra, right? And there are some people like that. They'll go and take mantra diksha from everybody. They'll take. There's a nature like that, right? Ajahn Sam is saying here, different types of mantra diksha is not good because it will create distraction inside. Why? Why? He's explaining that, right? Some mantra is kamya karma. All mantra is not for spiritual elevation, fulfilling your material difficulties, material problems. For example, those who don't have children, Santana Gopala mantra is there. They will advise, give you the mantra diksha for Santana Gopala. And if you chant that, there will be children for that purposes. They advise the husband and wife to chant the Santana Gopala mantra. Right. There are some other mantra for acquiring wealth to please Mahalakshmi and to acquire wealth in this world. And if such mantra, if you are chanting, and then you are chanting mantra for self-realization, like Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or Ashtakshari, or Dwadashakshari, all these Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Namah Shivaya, these are all mantras for spiritual realization. So if you mix all your other mantras, Sandhana Gopala Mantra, and Dhanam, Agarshana Mantra, and all those mantras, and if you chant these mantras, it will only be a distraction. It won't have its effect. So, if those mantram comes in your spiritual path, it's obstacles, right? And so, its purpose is over, it's leave it at that, right? So that is why material life and spiritual life, if you have material, vairagyam is there important. So you have to give up the other things, what you don't want, if you are serious about spiritual path. Problems related to children, related to wealth and all other things, you just have to ignore that. Give up that. Vairagyam there. That's what he is saying here. That otherwise, the progress won't happen. For example, sannyasis. Take for example, sannyasis, right? Sannyasis chants Gayatri, right? But normally sannyasis are not allowed to chant Gayatri. They have gone beyond that. Proper sannyasis, right? For them only Om, Pranavam. Pranavam is the mantram for sannyasis. And because here even Gayatri he has transcended. He has even transcended Gayatri. Right? You know, Naishkarma Siddhi means that you have reached that state already. That is proper sannyasa. You have reached that state. Yeah. So, some sannyasis still, they will stay alone and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And similarly, mantram related to Sri Bharati, Devi mantram, or Panjaksharam, Namah Shivaya, all these things. They are all mantram related to form, sagunagaram, is it not? You see, all the mantrams, what we have now, say Panjaksharam, Namah Shivaya, is based on Shiva's form, you are taking it and chanting the mantra. Yeah? Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krishna, Rama, Radha Devi, all this is in our mind when you chant that mantra, you're supposed to have, right? Similarly, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, again form is present in that. Narayanaya, form is present. Om, there is no form present. That is why Om is higher than any of these things. And that is why sannyasis normally chant Om. But some sannyasis, because they have grew up with this other mantra, they are finding it difficult to leave it. If they got used to chanting Panjaksharam, Ashtaksharam, Dwadashaksharam, Shodashaksharam, Hare Krishna Mantra is Shodashaksharam. So if any of these, Ashtaksharam, Panjaksharam, Shodashaksharam, or Dwadashaksharam, any of these, if you got used to it, when you come to the sannyasam stage, it may be difficult to give it up, because you got so many years, you have practiced that. So some sannyasis still chant that, but Acharya Swamiji is saying here, that once you have reached proper Naishkarma Siddhi stage, it has come, then there is no need for that. You come to that state, right? All these mantras are coming from Dvaita Sampradaya. Shodashaksharam, Panjaksharam, Dvadashaksharam, Ashtaksharam, all these are coming from Dvaita Sampradaya, right? So, but in the Advaita Sampradaya, Acharya Swamiji, Ramana Maharshi and all, they won't chant any of these mantras anymore, right? So, in today, in the world, most of the people chant one of these mantras, right? But in order to go beyond than that, to the Nirvikalpam stage, that it may be a bit difficult when you have still attached your form alone. You see, form has that difficulty like that, that the form will stay strongly. But in the early days, you can't avoid that. Form is required. So, you can see that in the next verse, he is talking about that. How it is growing through all these stages, come to that stage where it is formless. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. This Krishna is saying that. Ahangaram Balam Darpam Kamam Krodham Parigraham Vimuchya Nirmama Shando Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. When you realize Brahmam, at what stage it happens? Earlier he said that Vairagyam in the last word, Viragabhavam Drishta Drishteshu Vishayeshu Vairishnyam Samubhashrita Samyak Ubhashrito Nityam Eva Ityartha. One who has become free from this problem of sense objects, what you see and what you don't see, and your ragam and trishna has gone from that, and you are establishing the jnanam properly, then he says that he will come to that stage when you have become free from ahangaram, belam, darpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham. If you have become free from all that, and then you are in this stage of Brahmisthiti, at that time you have become Brahmabhudam. Brahmabhudam, right? And when Brahmabhudam stage comes, then you have a bhakti after that, and that is called Parabhakti. You see? So first you come to this Brahmabhudam stage, and that is when Parabhakti develops. So you can see how Krishna is gradually taking us to that. Yeah. So Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade, and then he says what that Brahmam realization is in the next verse. So, so Krishna says that if you have become free from all these things, Ahangaram, Balam, Darpam, Kamam, Krodham, Parigraham, if you have become free, Vimuchya, if you have become free, then he will become called Nirmama, no Mamada anywhere, Shandaha, he is Shandi inside. He is Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. So Krishna says that when you have developed a Sarvasanga Vimukti, when you have become free from all Sangam, and you will have the Brahma Jnanam. Brahmajnanam will come to you. And, but, in order to get this Brahmajnanam inside, you have to hear it first. And then, in solitude, you should sit. and reflect on that, and nididhyasana, mananam, nididhyasana. Nididhyasana means, mananam is easy to understand, contemplation in other words. And then get that continuous, that is nididhyasana. Whatever you have done mananam, and what you have got from that, in order to make that as a constant flow inside, that's called a nididhyasana. And that is what Krishna is saying here. So Krishna said in the 51 to 53, these three verses, which one? Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhrityatmanam niyamyacha shabdadim vishayam tetva ragadyashu vidasyacha vivikta sevi laghvashi yadavakaya manasa dhyana yoga parvantyam vairagyam samubhashrita ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchya nirmama shando brahma bhuyaya kalpade. So with these three verses, Krishna is saying you will come to the Brahman stage. If these three verses are properly followed in life. So you can see the effort required in all these three verses, what is spoken. It's not so easy, is that? It's so complex, isn't it? Right? So he says, if you come to this, then the next stage is, the buddhi is very clear. Buddhi is very clean inside. All because you have practiced these three verses in life and the buddhi has become clear. And buddhi has become purified, in other words. And with that purified buddhi and with the willpower inside, Uparamed, he says, in solitude, if you practice dhyanam, dhyanam, not the way we do now. You go alone and spend as much time as required, totally unaffected by the world outside, able to stay like that, without ragadvesham, and without any effect of the world from outside. So, he is saying here that able to practice that way of life sometimes. In the case of great people, they go now and then, they go away from the world to find some solitude to themselves. You have to move out of the world as much as possible, that's the idea. But while living in the world, it may be impractical always. But as and when necessary, you withdraw from the world, right? And another thing is that suppose you manage to go to a place where it is very isolated and solitude and it's very favorable for meditation, very favorable for dhyanam. But if it is ragadvesham inside, then it becomes a problem. Yeah. So if there is ragadvesham, thoughts will keep coming, even if you go into a lonely place, right? So, so you can close your eyes, shut your ears, everything, but how will you control the mind? Isn't it? Senses, okay, you can withdraw senses, somehow or the other. You can shut your eyes, you don't want to see the world. The ears, you can put the earplugs on, you don't want to hear anything. But what will you do with the mind? This is where the problem is, right? So, one person goes into solitude and sits there and he wants to meditate. But then after that, he heard the sound of anklets, some girl walking around, and he heard the sound of that anklets. And immediately he disturbed his mind. He opened his eyes to see who is going that way, right? So, so you can close most of the senses through various means, right? Eyes you can close, the ears you can plug them. And similarly, then he saw the smell is coming from some lavender flowers, which is very powerful, right? So everything attention went through the nose then, to the flowers. So you can see how the mind is, right? So then he put this mask COVID mask on the face for meditation, right? So at least three senses have now come under control. At least they are not disturbing the mind, right? Then this mind suddenly reminded him that this girl is going to come about 9 o'clock in that way. So that the sound has disturbed him before. So that thought has come in the mind, right? So that is what he is saying here. Shabdadin vishayan tektva. That's why Krishna is saying like that, the way he has spoken there, you see. He says, Shabdadin, senses you have to give up control, or you have to control them. But also, raga dvesho vidasvicha. So, senses you control from outwardly, you can control them. But if you have not controlled the raga dvesha means inside, the mind will give you trouble. You see? So when you sit, if you are trying to create a world inside, bhavamandalam, in that bhavamandalam, if you have ragadvesham and the senses comes in, then they will create trouble. So, therefore that is why Krishna said like that. Yeah. For ragadvesham is coming from the mind and shabdam vishayam, shabdadim vishayam comes from the senses. Shabdadim vishayam you can give up. Somehow or the other, he can shut them down because senses are looking outside. What will you do with the mind? Because mind, if he has got ragadvesham inside, then ragadvesham will start working. Even if you are in a lonely place, even if you have controlled your senses, that's problem, right? So if the ragadvesham has not gone, if you have attachment and aversion in the mind, right? Even if you have controlled the senses, it's useless. Because this ragadvesham will start working, right? And that is what he is saying here. Ragadvesham, you have to get rid of them from inside, right? and this Krishna has said many times. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. In the second chapter, he mentioned this. You remember that? Yeah. Yeah, why did he say that? Because he knows this problem, that senses you can ask people to control. Somehow or the other you can control the senses. But this thing called mind, which has got ragadvesham inside, that ragadvesham will come as a problem. And that is why when he spoke about sthidapratnyato, lakshanam, when he spoke, he mentioned ragadvesham there. Right? So, Ragadvesha vimukhtaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Atma vishayan vidheyalma prasadamadigachadi. Right? So, if you don't have ragadvesham inside, right? If you don't have ragadvesham inside, even if the senses make contact with sense objects, your mind will be in a peaceful state. If there is no ragadvesham inside, right? When you have ragadvesham, that is when the problem is. You see how the mind and senses work. Yeah? Mind and senses work like that. Yeah? So, senses have the nature of contacting sense objects. Krishna is saying, they are not the big problem. It is this ragadvesham bigger problem. So, ekandam, if you go into loneliness, solitude, right? So, ekande, you can go and sit comfortably in ekandam, in loneliness, right? And, but this ragadvesha problem, you have to find a way how to solve that, right? Ordinary people, they don't like solitude. Have you noticed that? Most of the people like a company all the time. They can't sit alone. They find that very difficult, right? They need somebody to talk to. Somebody, doesn't matter. Somebody, right? On the other hand, people who are in spiritual life, they like loneliness. It's the other way it is, right? So, that is a sign of a spiritual person. He likes solitude rather than being with other people all the time, right? He enjoys the solitude. Because if your mind is very disturbed, then you won't be able to enjoy solitude. These are subtle things, right? If your mind is very disturbed, then you won't like solitude. And if you are enjoying solitude, it is a symptom of a person who is spiritually serious. Spiritually serious. That is a symptom of a person. That means that person can make progress in spiritual path. And it is one of the important goals in spiritual life, able to be stationed or able to be remain in solitude, not needing the help of anybody else in this world, to be in this world, to stay in this world, right? So, why? Because a certain type of shanti, peacefulness comes inside at that time, right? And that will create a happiness inside from that solitude. You get a happiness inside. And that is what Krishna mentioned in there. You see that? In the 52nd verse. Vivikta Sevi. Vivikta Sevi means that. Able to remain alone and be satisfied with that. Able to remain alone. Right? So this situation, right, one who has control of the senses, for him solitude will be ideal. He will relish that. One who has control over the senses, right? So that's what he mentions here, that when you are in solitude and when there is dhyanam inside, meditation inside, this ahankaram inside will disappear. It's one of the things what happens inside with all our knowledge. Ahankaram is a very difficult thing to explain, how ahankaram works in us, right? Ego, how it works, right? And ahankaram is very powerful when you are in contact with the world outside world. Ahankaram become very active, right? And then sometimes it disappears in the deep sleep, is it not? In a similar way, in solitude also, ahankaram won't be very strong. It will go down a lot inside. And so that is why a lot of things, by controlling the body, controlling the mind, indirectly you are controlling the ahankaram in that way. By controlling the body, controlling the mind, and all these things what Krishna has spoken, indirectly you are not allowing that ahankaram to come up too strongly. Whereas if you are engaged in karma all the time, ahankaram will be very powerful there when you are doing that, right? So here, one should practice this control of the mind in solitude. That is Krishna's answer to that. If you go into solitude, and if you have all the other things, senses all shut down, Shabdadin Vishayan Tektua. Then Vivikta Sevi Leghvashi. Krishna talks this word, uses this word again and again. Vivikta Sevi. Yeah. He has also used Amanitam Adambitam Ahimsat Shanti Rajyam Acharya Vasanam Shavujam Sthayam Atma Vinigraha Indiyateshu Vairagyam Anahangaram Evaja Janmam Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshana Darshanam asatya anavishanga putradhara grahadishu nityanja samajitattvam ishtanishtopapattishu maijananya yogena avyabhijarini bhaktiravyabhijarini vivikta desha sevitvam. He says there also he is saying vivikta seva. So this vivikta seva, vivikta desha sevitvam aradir janasamsadi, he is saying there no connection with the people outside. Aradir janasamsadi. Janasamsadi means people. No happiness in their association with others. Aradir janasamsadi. These things are helpful for developing this dhyanam inside. This dhyanam, meditation inside. This is not an organized meditation, right? This is a meditation that comes by arranging our way of life in such a way that automatically this meditation develops inside. By controlling the lifestyle. That's what this is. Not like the way organized meditation. In the hall you go with the mat and sit there for an hour and pay for it and meditate. That's not the kind of meditation this one. This is all based on Jnana Yoga. In Bhakti Yoga, what happens? You are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and absorbing Krishna to act such as possible. Krishna's words, Krishna's instructions. In that way, Krishna takes over everything. That is a bhakti process. So, then he mentioned about the food, vivitta sevi, laghvashi, yagavakai manasa. That kind of problems, what is there? And controlling the diet. Because if you don't eat anything, you will be hungry. And then you won't be able to perform any meditation either, right? So, similarly, not to talk unnecessarily, and controlling the mind and the body, and absorption as much as possible, right? And then what is Vairagyam he is talking about? Vairagyam samupashrita. Vairagyam, he is saying here, what he has got in life, satisfied with that, right? Whatever he gets in life, accept that, right? And so that person who has come to that state, then he is talking about ahangaram, balam, darpam, kamam, krotham, parigraham, all these things, right? So ekanda sthiti, maunam, aparigraham, sandosham, all these are spoken in the Yoga Vasishtam also. And in Viveka Chudamani also will say this, yogasya pradama vang nirodha abarigraha niraha nirasha nirihacha nitya meganda shiradaha. So the first door in yogam is this thing called abarigraham. You see, Krishna talks about parigraham there. Abarigraham means that you don't process any, not accumulate a lot of things in life. Keep life as simple as possible. That is called abarigraham. Like, people have this habit of accumulating so many things, is it not? Clothes, shoes, then all sorts of things. People keep collecting, and living a life. That's not abarigraham. That's parigraham. You will see in the 24 spiritual masters also, parigrahaya dukkhanam, the example of the bird, a little bird is spoken, who got a small piece of flesh in the mouth, and it was flying, and the big bird started chasing that small bird. The small bird has got a little piece of flesh. It was trying to eat. And then it saw that big birds were coming to get that piece from her. And so the little bird realized that the big birds may eat me altogether with the flesh. They were big eagles and all that. This was only a tiny little bird. So what did he do? He threw away that piece of flesh so that it could escape from the danger. And they ran after the big piece of flesh for what you throw away. Dattatreya Maharshi says there, I learned this, that I should not keep things what I don't need for my life, because it will only create trouble. Other people will be looking for that. And there are so many examples about that. One person came to see Ramana Maharshi. He brought with him a nice wooden stick covered in silver with all that. And thinking that Maharshi will be very happy with that. Not understanding him, right? He came, brought it, and with a lot of coping that Maharshi will like it and he will appreciate that for what he has brought, and gave it to him. Maharshi took it and looked at it and said, "Oh, it's very nice," he said, and gave it back to him. So he said, "No, I brought it for you," he said. He said, "No. If I take it," he told him what all the problems are. "It looks nice, and this gold, this what you call the silver covering and all that, when people see that, they will think that, oh, it's not a nice, it's a good one. Why not I have that?" So you are only creating desires in others' heart. So sensitive he was about it, that he don't become a cause, a problem for others to create ragadvesham in their heart. So that was his point. He said, "I won't keep it here, because if it disturbs my mind, it will disturb others' mind as well. You can take it back, it's a nice stick, but I don't need it," he said. And he will like to use an ordinary bamboo pole, and he was holding on to that. Right? So so this is proper understanding, that vairagya means you take only what is necessary to live in this world. Anything what you don't need, don't accumulate, don't buy, don't collect it. For what are you going to do with it at the end? Right? So once you have acquired something, so he is saying here that will create desires inside when you keep accumulating things, right? And then what else he said? Vimuchya nirmama shanda. Narmama Shando Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. Right? He does not cultivate desires inside. So many desires come when you get to know them, is it not? Like desires to go somewhere on holidays, and they keep giving all the holiday brochures, the facilities available there, things like that. So all these things are only affecting you in your mind. Desires builds up. Right? So, and Belam means that suppose I have a desire for something, me forcing it upon others, you should also desire the same thing, what I am desiring, in that way. Forcing it upon others, right? All these things are, what Krishna is talking about, are all symptoms of ahankaram inside. You see? Ahankaram comes out of all these forms. Balam, darpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham. All this is different variations of ahankaram inside. It may be difficult to understand in the first, but if you think about it, you can see how ahankaram is behind all these things. Yeah, ahankaram becomes in the form of balam, darpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham. All these things are coming from that, right? So, sometimes people think like this, right? Maybe father, mother, wife, children, whoever it may be, or relations, or disciples, they should all hear this. Only then I'll be peaceful. In that way, right? In other words, forcefully thrusting it upon them. And that is balam, right? And kamam, desires, krodham, anger, parigraham. And so if you have collected a lot of things like that in life, then dhyanam becomes very difficult, right? So because people will come for various things what you have collected. And so nirmamatvam won't be there. Vimuchya nirmama shando. Nirmamatvam won't happen. Right? And mamada won't give you peacefulness inside for dhyanam. And Krishna is saying there, if you have practiced 51, 52 and 53, and if you have got somewhere with all those three verses in life, then he is saying here that you are ready for Brahmam realization. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. Your realization for Brahmam realization, right? So Brahma realization means he is prepared for Brahma jnana, for Brahma knowledge, right? And so practically he has succeeded in all the adhyavasayam based on the body, mind and the intelligence. These are things which creates adhyavasayam on the body, on the mind and the buddhi, on the three. Adhyavasayam comes, you know, adhyavasayam means the superimposed identities. What you get from this world is coming through these things. So if you have practiced these things, Krishna is saying that adhyavasayam on the body, mind and the intelligence, more or less you have managed to free them. You manage to free them from that, from the adhyasaya. Subtle things, but you have to read it and think about it and then practice it. And then, but we are such people that we find everything difficult, isn't it? So, and then what happens? Then you realize who you are. And Krishna is saying, you realize that you are Brahman, that your Swarupam is Brahman. If this is all practiced, you will get to Brahman realization. So, for example, at the moment, we are in the body, right? And our senses are operating. Then the mind is operating, intelligence is operating, ego is operating all the time. So becoming free from all these things is meditation, dhyana. Free from body, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from intelligence, freedom from the senses, everything. And not concentration on the shabdam alone. Vedanta dhyanam is like that. So, able to live in solitude and all the adhyasam you have managed to remove them, all the adhyasam on the body, on the mind, on the intelligence. And because they are all obstacles in dhyanam. They're all obstacles in dhyanam. And able to remove them like that, and when you have removed everything, then you will experience that you are pure soul. Brahmanubhuti, it is called, will happen, and that is what Krishna says here. Vimuchya nirmama shando brahma bhuyaya kalpate. He says you become Brahman then. Brahman realization will come to you. So if Brahman realization is not coming, from that you can understand that all these things have not been followed, has not happened in our life. Yeah. So this is all basically spoken for the jnani, jnanamargam this is. This is all jnanamargam it is, right? And because it is jnana, referring to Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. So you will have the experience that you are Brahman, if you have managed to do all these things, what was spoken, right? So, that's what he is saying here, that ahangaram, he says, ahangaram ahangaranam, ahangara dehendriyadishutam balam, samarthyam, kamaryaga samyuttam, na idaran shariradu samarthyam, swabhavigatyena tatyagasya ashakrtvad. You see, senses are the reason for our ahangaram to work, right? And so, senses are responsible for the ahangaram. Ahangaram starts working when senses work. Kamam ragam. if you're operating with that, that is balam. That means you have desires inside, attachment also. Desires and attachment inside. And that is called balam. That means your ahankaram gets its balam from that. Ahankaram gets its balam from kamam and ragam. And then that's what you will see. You force upon your ideas on others. And if they don't accept it, you get angry about all these things. It's coming from that. And then, balam does not refer to the bodily strength. Balam refers to the strength of that ahankaram inside. Ahankaram inside us. We want things to be done in a particular way and it has to force upon others. Right? And giving up all that, swabhavigate is saying here, swabhavigatena tatyagasya ashakratvad. It is impossible to give up them like that. Darpam darpo nama harshanandara bhavi. Dharma adikrama hedu krishto dhyapredi drupto dharmam adikramadi its maranacha. Is saying that someone who is very happy in life, he gets this problem called the darpam. Right. Due to that, he will develop a tendency to jump over dharma. This is another problem. Right? This is Ajahn Swami quoted from Avastamba Sutra. He's saying there that if you become very happy in life, then darpam will come. And when darpam comes, the next thing is you won't care for dharma anymore. You will overstep dharma. Without caring for dharma, you will start acting in this world. Because you feel so happy inside. This is the effect of the mind inside, right? Kamam, icham, krodham, dvesham, parigraham, indriya manogata dosha, parityagaha, abhi sharira dharana prasangena, dharma anushtana nimittena va, bahyaha, parigraha, praptaha, tamcha, vimucha, parityajya. So, suppose you have given up all kinds of attachment of the sense objects, and the mind, still for maintaining the body and to execute the dharmam in this world, you may have to still accept something in this world, right? And that is parigraham. And he says, paramahamsa parivrajago bhutva deha jivana matraim abhi nirgata mama bhavo nirmamaha ata eva shandaha uparataha yaha samhrudayaso yadihi jnana nishto brahma bhuyaya brahma bhavanaya kalpade samartho bhavati. Ajahn Swami says there that one he becomes such a person, becomes more or less a paramahamsa or parivrajaka because he does not possess anything. That possession has gone from him. Mind, that possession has left him and he has not attachment even for maintaining his body, even to such an extent he has become free from that. Such a person, he is saying here, he will gradually get established in the jnana nishtha. This is all referring to jnanis, jnana nishtha. And he becomes qualified to receive brahmam realization. That's how he puts it, right? Anena kramena. So, we will discuss that verse tomorrow, because that's an important verse. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochadi na kamshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim lepade param. Once we read these verses, you start realizing spiritual life is not so simple as we think. A little bit of rituals here, a little bit of rituals there, and a couple of hours of sadhana, and then left everything to spiritual master to manage. It's not that how it runs. Spiritual life doesn't run like that. Spiritual life does require some commitment and some dedication. And whatever one's possible in one lifetime, one do it. That's all you can do now, at this stage in life. But spiritual life is a bigger project than material life. It takes many lifetimes to come to that proper understanding and to practice it and to perfect it. It takes time. And it requires knowledge, because without understanding properly, you won't understand the complexities of spiritual life. You say, if you don't study Bhagavad Gita, how will you know what is to be done? You will just think that everybody else is doing, I am doing the same thing. Or 1 minute association, what the Guru has given to you, with that you are holding on to that, thinking that everything he will take care. You can throw it on him and stay out of it, right? That's also not going to work. So lesson to learn is this, that spiritual life does demand a lot from us. A lot of commitment, a lot of surrender. Jnana-margam, bhakti-margam. And you will become more and more convinced, only bhakti-margam will work for us. Jnana-margam is impossible. That realization at least you will get when you go through this, right? So keeping that in mind, and then you can see the connection between bhakti and jnana. That's the next word it's all about. Brahmabhuda prasannatma nashochati nakamshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhade para. So now you see what bhakti is. Where does bhakti is coming from? And we have understood bhakti something different. Totally different way we are living in this world, thinking that all my little sadhana here and little sadhana there, it will bring develop bhakti. Krishna says no. This para bhakti is what Krishna calls as bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is not taken seriously. Seriously in the sense that it is required, but it is not even considered as bhakti in one sense. Proper bhakti means para bhakti. And Krishna says, once you have reached this Brahma Bodham stage, then we can talk about bhakti. Man bhaktim labhade param. He says you will have bhakti after that. So bhakti is a very high stage, which is going to happen at maybe next few lifetimes, in one of the next few lifetimes, wherever it is, right? So we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.